That's what he wants. A vision of his will. What's his will? Love him. Love you. Be of service. Be rigorously honest. Do those kinds of things. Man, if you do that so you can be at peace, and I know as long as I'm in peace, I don't think I have to worry about drinking alcohol. Okay? I would like to... how much time we got left?
30 minutes.
Huh? Okay. I want to call some people up who I've had a chance, God has put in my life, that I've had a chance to do some work with. I want to start with a lady who, when I first sat out and talked to her, she was in terrible, terrible shape with untreated alcoholism. Mary, come on up. So I'm going to pick two, three people, ask them to share about 10 minutes about their work with this thing and their experience with this power.
Thanks. My name's Mary. I'm definitely an alcoholic. I'm a real alcoholic. Wow. Two years ago, at 6 months sober, I was dying of untreated alcoholism, and I didn't know that. I had checked myself into Charter Palms, or Charter, whatever it is here, I can't remember, because I had come to with a bottle of scotch sitting on my table, and I had poured a drink, and I didn't remember buying the bottle. It talks about that in the big book. And I wanted to die. And it was easier for me to be crazy than it was to do what I needed to do. And part of that is because I didn't know what I needed to do. I had worked the steps in AA early in my sobriety. I had worked the steps through PDAP early in my sobriety. But, you know, I ran into some people who talked to me about what was really wrong. And I sat in a meeting with Mark and listened to him talk about untreated alcoholism, and I finally knew what was wrong and what I needed to do, and that was to work the steps. And God has just been so incredibly kind to me. So benevolent. His grace is in it. Just, I don't even know what to say. I've just completed my amends. A year ago at this meeting, I sat with Mark and Ram and Dan and did a fifth step. And let me tell you, for the queen, that was not easy. And since that time, I've been working on amends. And I had an incredibly different experience with 6 and 7 than I had ever had. I don't even know what to say. I've just completed my amends. A year ago at this meeting, I sat with Mark and Ram and Dan and did a fifth step. And let me tell you, for the queen, that was not easy. And since that time, I've been working on amends. And I had an incredibly different experience with 6 and 7 than I had ever had. A couple months ago, I was in Iowa, which is where I'm from also. Never knew Mark, thank God, in my drinking. But At 10 o'clock in the morning at my mother's home, I was sitting with husband number one and husband number four. And we were having a civil conversation. And I had made amends to both of those men. And my fourth husband offered to take me all over Iowa because I was there to make amends. And he drove me all over and sat in lobbies and sat in his car and read paper and drove me all over to make amends to people. Now, this is a man who I hadn't spoken to until we made amends in this last year. I hadn't spoken to him since our divorce in 1986. And not only did he drive me around to make these amends, but, you know, which I never would have asked him to do, God in his wisdom, but we talked about God as I understand him and as he understands him, and about our 12-step programs, because he is in a 12-step program different than this, but still 12 steps. And we talked about how different the steps were for me this time as compared to in 1989 and 1990. And I connected with this man who I had forgiven and who had forgiven me. If anybody had told me a year ago when we were doing this step that those things would have happened, I couldn't have even imagined. And I found everybody on my amends list. I did a lot of graveside amends, and I had somebody in the program at home say, "Whoop, boy, you know, he told this to a newcomer. You don't want her for a sponsor because she's doing weird stuff like graveside amends." Let me tell you how powerful that was for me. Well, it was powerful.
You're not supposed to tell.
No. I've been on the web lately, on the net, looking for these two people that I haven't found, and I keep thinking, if I can just get these two amends made, I'll be done, right? And then Mark reminded me about what it says in the big book, you know? Am I willing? Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm done, you know? I'm done. If they walked in here right now, I'd make amends right in front of y'all. No problem. There's some real funny things that happened. And let me tell you, I mean, I had some real powerful experiences with my amends, but I also had some that weren't very fun. One of the women who sponsored me in the beginning when I went and made amends to her chose not to speak to me and hasn't since. But you know what? That's not my problem. My side of the street is clean. But that's, I would have expected anything else but that. That has been one of my experiences with amends. I've had some really funny things happen. And financially, I had so many financial amends that I was, you know, a year ago, I didn't know how I was ever going to, those were the ones that I was most worried about. The job that I have today has made it possible for me to make my financial amends. I have one left that I'm paying on. Everything else I am current with. That is incredible. You know, only through working the steps in this program, the way they're outlined in the big book, did those things happen for me. And I'm eternally grateful to a God who loves me completely, who through his grace has granted me sobriety today, who I have a personal relationship with today, and have experienced more peace and more joy in this last 9 months than I ever thought possible and have ever experienced in my recovery. And for that, I'm truly grateful. Thank you.
Thanks. Dan, you want to come up? Come on. Dan was my roommate for about 3 years. I'll let him tell you a little bit of that, but he was studying to be a priest while he was doing a lot of drinking. It was just kind of a conflict, you know. And at any rate, here's Dan.
You ran them all off. What happened? Talk like that. My name is Dan Danforth. I am an alcoholic. I tell you, when you can't talk about a spiritual experience, that's the truth. That's the truth. It's kind of like trying to tell people what an orange tastes like that have never tasted an orange. You can't do that, see? Telling a blind person what blue looks like just ain't going to happen. It's true, I had to live with this guy for 3 years. It's I'm glad he went through the work. My sobriety date is the 23rd of September of 1993. And I'm a recovered alcoholic because I followed what's in this book, the big book. It's a combined experience of 100 people that recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body in a relatively short period of time. They didn't take that little humble, "I'm in recovery" bullshit. See? They didn't take that stance. They said, "We are 100 recovered alcoholics." By the way, if you haven't recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, fire the sponsor you got, get one, get the damn book, and start doing the steps. "I'm in recovery." Most people that say that aren't. How long does it take to do the steps? How long you got to do this? What happens when you go through the work? Well, Mark described what's happening to him. See, each time I go through the work, I feel like I should bring all this vast experience that I carry with me, and when I have this new experience, I'm going to add it to that, right? I'm looking for a new experience, but I want to keep the old one. Well, and so I went through the work again, and I tell you, my life has changed so much in the last 3 years, I don't know what to say. I worked at the same treatment center that Mark does. I still work there, so I got to be careful what I say. But anyway, on the 31st of next month, I will no longer be working at that treatment center. And I'm going to Lexington, Kentucky, where I'm going to intern at a monastery for a year as an intern oblate brother. And at the end of that year, I'm not sure what will happen, but my plan is to finish my final year of seminary in upstate New York, where it snows, for God's sake. Yeah. I'm having a new experience with recovery. See. It's not going to be the old one. The old one says that I'd like to stay at La Hacienda and make a lot of money and become famous and become a circuit speaker and all that crap and become an egomaniac, and which I'm good at, by the way. And God says, "No, I don't think so. I got some other work for you to do. Remember that thing that you said you felt you were called to be a priest? Well, you've quit drinking now. So come on." See? And so I'm going to finish that experience. Do I believe that a power greater than myself can take me past here? And am I willing to do anything to do that? And the answer to that is yes. To me, that's the third step. Will I do it? Yes. I'll do it. Why? If God can be this good to me this far, I want more. I want more. And I believe that a power greater than myself can take me past here. I love Alcoholics Anonymous. I really do. And the people I talk to in any AA meeting or any group are not you guys who have been around for 20 years with the same old stuff. The guy I want to talk to is that guy that's been around for 2 or 3 years, has maybe put 90 days together, and he cannot stop going out that door. He can't stop drinking. He's the real alcoholic. He's the guy we're here for. He's the guy. He knows a lot of stuff. He talks good in a meeting when he's had about 4 weeks sober. It's true. I did it. But he's the guy. With all the stuff he knows, and all the tragedy in his life, and all the humiliation of having to come get another damn desire chip, he can't stop drinking. He's powerless. He's the guy we're here for. He's the alcoholic. If you're one of them guys, I'm here for you. And I won't lie to you. They don't call me Mr. Sensitive for nothing. That's true. I care about your feelings. Ask Ram. I cared about it. I cared about your feelings, didn't I, Ram?
Yeah,
I did. Real touchy-feely guy. That's why, I don't know why people are mentioning my name at this podium about doing fifth steps. What's that about? But I love this program, and I love alcoholics. I believe this program is for alcoholics. I don't believe it's for everybody. I believe it's for the guys that are powerless over alcohol. And without a power greater than themselves, they're going to die, alcoholics. They're going to buy a drug. I walked in this room earlier. There was a lot of people in this room. And this meeting has gone a lot like AA goes. About half the people have already cleared out. But those people that are hungry, those people that want what we have, are willing to go to any length to get it, including listening to me. That stuck it out, you know. Yeah, mad dogs. They're rabid. I want to thank Mark for letting me come up here and say a few words, and thank you for listening.
Well, let's see. I think we're going to have time for one more. James, you got time for one more?
A couple more.
Come on, Chris. That, we'll do both Chris's. You're after her.
Well, hi, everybody. My name is Chris, and I'm a real alcoholic. Yeah, I'm nervous. My sobriety date is December 21st of 1988, and I guess it was about 3 years ago. I was sitting in a meeting, and a dear friend of mine that went back out had brought Mark in, and I was sitting there, and I had been hurting for a long time, and I was taking my problems to someone, and I just wasn't getting any relief. I found out later that I was dying of untreated alcoholism. I had a lot going on in my life, a lot of self-will run riot, of course. I didn't know how to clean it up. I didn't know what to do. You know, I've been in this program for 5 years, and I went to big book studies, and I saw people just talking and relating to the book, and I still didn't get it. I mean, I got it in the meetings, but I never really did the work. I still didn't understand what the words were or what... you know, how to do it, do whatever. And you ever sit in a meeting, a speaker meeting, or somebody's talking, and they're telling you I mean, they're talking about themselves, but it's like you're going wham, wham. Everything he was saying is exactly what I was doing. Everything. And I had to talk to him, and I grabbed him. I think it was about 2 days later, a bunch of us went out to eat, and I was sitting there, and I said, I need to talk to you. I'd like to talk to you. And he asked me, he asked me a question, and he said, I kind of gave him a little bit of my crap. And he said, let me ask you a question. Are you willing to go to any length? And there was another question, and right now I can't think of what it was, but it was very important. And I said, yes. And he opened up the book, and he told me to start with a little mini inventory. And he talked about it, about how am I doing in personal relationships. I have, write down 10 people I have a relationship with today, and how is that going? And they weren't going very well. Fear of, I prayed to misery and depression. I was there. Drinking began to seem enticing. I didn't have the compulsion, but I, like I think Ram had said, is this all there is? I'm not getting it. I'm not getting it. And so anyway, through a process of events and I'm willing to do the work, Mark and I went through this book. And see, there's nowhere that says, I've been around here for 5 years. I wasn't a newcomer coming in, a female newcomer. I've been around long enough to know that, number one, everybody's my teacher. They didn't say to me in grade school, okay, Chris, you're a little girl, so we're going to give you all women teachers for the rest of you until you turn 18. He's been a teacher for me, and he's only taught me what was in the book. And I did my fifth step with Mark. He sent me to a woman to do my sex inventory. My inventory took 9 hours. It says in the book that we are prepared for a long talk. I had done several inventories in those 5 years. I'd done about four or five. And I think the longest one I ever did took about an hour. But I never did any of the work after that. I did steps one, two, and three. I did one, two, three, and four. Skip five. Well, no, skip some of five. Yeah, you know what I mean. Skip six, seven. I made a list. Didn't do anything in nine. Did 10 when I damn well felt like it. 11, again, conscious contact, what's that? And 12, when I have time. And that's probably why I was feeling the way I was feeling. And anyway, I went up to Kerrville, Texas. I had been saying, I want some time off from work. God, I wish I could just have a couple of weeks off from work. That would be so neat. I could sit down and get that four step done. So he gave me what I asked for. He gave me a gallbladder attack. And remember that? I had a gall boulder. I lovingly refer to it as my gall boulder because it reminds me of my stuff. It was all in a ball, and that's what I had done. I didn't have those regular stones like most people get. I had my gall boulder. And so I got out of the hospital. I finished my four-step and went up and did my fifth step with Mark. And over a period of a day and a half, it took about 9 hours. The most important thing I love to tell people that are new, this when I walked in, I had put my notebook down on the coffee table like this. And we were chit-chatting, and he sat down, and he opened it up. And I started going through it and reading it. I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? He said, why, is there something that I'm not supposed to see in this? Well, no, I'm going to tell you everything. And I was real nervous. Why would he be looking at that? And I thought, that's, you know, that's all right. Well, we went through we went over the first five proposals, and we read out of the fifth step about what he was about to do, what he was about to do. And this was for me and God. This was for my relationship with God. And it really had nothing to do with Mark. Just bring me through it. And we went after it. And I found myself defending myself a lot. He said on more than one occasion that I was a victim. I was acting like a victim, even doing my fifth step. And after it was all said and done, as I was leaving his house, he asked me, I want to ask you a question. And he said, if I took your notebook with your fifth step, or with your fourth step, and I just ripped one page off at a time and let the wind carry it, what would you do? How would you feel? Nothing. It wouldn't matter. It absolutely wouldn't matter who read it. It didn't matter anymore. When I went over right after that to a lady, her name is Rita, and I remember on the way over there, I had never had that feeling before. It was something that it was indescribably wonderful. That weight that was lifted, I felt like a feather. Now, I had done some other four steps and fifth steps, and I really worked on this one as best as I could at that time. And I did my sex inventory, and I left Kerrville, and I felt different. And I remember it showed up my next day at work. Somebody was, you know, people were just doing stuff. I also work at a treatment center. That's probably why I still have some of this stuff. But anyway, some stuff was going on, and I found myself wanting to turn around and do, you know, react, you know, like I normally would, you know, like Miss Queen Superior, and I found myself turning back, and it was without any effort on my part. I kept my mouth shut and went on without any effort. That's what the six to seven steps about. I mean, that's what I took into the prayer and meditation. I knew that God had I had let God in, and that He was doing the work that I couldn't do. That was quite a while ago, and that was a few years back. And I am very grateful for that experience. Mark knows, and I can't stand up here, and Ram knows I can't stand up here and lie, because I kind of quit doing some of the work. But I've always ached to come back to it. I think this is God's way of leading me back. And I talked to a friend earlier that went through this work at one of the workshops that we had down here with Joe and Mark, and I'm going to do this for me, and to have a greater experience. I started making some amends. I made my biggest amends with my family. You know, it's not true when people say the best thing you can do is just stay sober. Not in my family. It wasn't working. It wasn't working. And I had to go, and I had to tell my family how I felt. I mean, I had to do my amends. And is there anything else that I've left out? Is there anything I can do? And they thanked me. And it went real smooth. I had a lot of fear going into it. I made some other amends. I got a woman sponsor. And that didn't work. She burned my amends, all of them, all 10 that I brought. And thank God that I went ahead and made some of those amends, because it was awesome for both of us. I had a spiritual experience, my very first one, as a result of these steps, the big one, the one that you can't describe. I had gotten into, I had disciplined myself into finally doing prayer and meditation for an hour a day. and listening to amends tapes and listening to the to spiritual tapes, and I had gone off to a meeting. I was going to a speaker's meeting, and I was driving in my car, and I don't want to describe it because somehow or another, when I try to describe it, it loses its impact on me. I there's just no words. I haven't had an experience like that in a couple of years now, and I need to continue doing this work. I want to continue doing this work. That's all I'm going to say. Thanks.
Chris from Houston, come on up. Chris will take us down to the wire. I do thank all of you who have stayed here for this. Come on.
Don't want to interrupt.
You got it.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm an alcoholic. My name is Chris. I feel like I'm in an ab roller commercial here. I've lost 100 pounds as a result of using this. Real quickly, I've been in the program since 1986. I have 3 years of sobriety. Only an alcoholic would understand those kind of numbers. I sat in this program and tried to self-manage my sobriety for the first 7 of them and damn near killed myself. I literally sat in a meeting with 18 months of sobriety and said to myself, if this is all there is to sobriety, I am gone and I'm never coming back again. And that's a fact. I'd rather drink than live like this. Being conscious and aware of the feelings that I was having in myself with no relief at all, with no contact with God at all, is the most miserable feeling I've ever had in my life. The book says try some controlled drinking. Try some controlled sobriety, too, man. That hurts, too. That hurts real bad. That hurt me worse than trying that controlled drinking. That's a fact. I'm serious. If you're sitting in this room right now and you're saying to yourself, if this is all there is to sobriety, I don't want any more, before you pull that trigger, talk to somebody who's come up here on this podium. I'm absolutely serious. Follow the book exactly the way it is written, and I promise you that if you're an alcoholic like me and you do the work like I did, you will have conscious contact. Now, I know what that means today. I am not unconscious of contact with God. I am conscious of contact with God. Contact meaning a touch. I have been touched by God, and I am conscious of it. I am aware of it. I am totally conscious of the idea that God has touched me. That's a really, really nice feeling. I'm here to tell you that's fantastic. I as a result of doing the work, I have gotten very, very steady with prayer and meditation. I did 14 minutes of prayer and meditation this morning. I know exactly how long it's been. I've done, I'm in the second column of my fourth step. There are 27 names on my list. I know exactly where I am in the program. I can tell you specifically where I am from the first time through the steps, and that's just because I just can't physically find that person, so I'm going to set it aside and move on. It takes a lot of sweat, a lot of work, and a lot of labor, but the benefits and the rewards that you get from all that sweat and labor are I can't even get up here and use enough adjectives or adverbs to describe the feeling I have as a result of this book. It is written by alcoholics, for alcoholics, just like me. Absolutely serious. I'll tell you another one of the other benefits I got, not just the conscious contact with God. I have been married to a wonderful woman named Regina for 13 years. That marriage was just about trash after being 18 months. I mean, can you imagine some of the feelings I had sitting in there with 18 months of sobriety ready to kill myself? You can imagine the kind of feelings I had toward my family. So I got some very specific directions as a result of that. One of the steps we don't hear about a lot in here is 12, practicing these principles. It's real nice inside of these four walls talking this great big program, but taking it out there in the world and really doing what you say you're doing, that's the tough part. Pausing when agitated or doubtful. We always tend to forget that one, Like when I'm just about to, grab the butcher knife and start chasing my kids around and I doubt which knife to use, I need to pause. Hey, I'm serious. I'm very absolutely serious. There's some very specific steps you can take, and the book's very, very clear. Look on page 111. It says, the first principle of success. Oh, not only one of a spiritual principle, but a principle of how to be and live in a relationship with a significant other. I can't tell you how many meetings I've been to where people say, well, I don't know anything about relationships. You don't?
Have you read half of the book of Alcoholics Anonymous? Seriously, look at it. Working with others, my relationship with alcoholics in the program on a day-to-day basis. To the wives, how am I treating my wife, as if I'm taking possession, but how am I dealing with the person I'm living with on a daily basis, the family afterward? What about the children that are growing up in the household that I live in? I have a relationship with them too. I have a responsibility. Yes, it is written to them, but if you turn that around and look at your part in it, there's a lot there. My employer. It's written to the employer, but if you turn it around, I have a lot of responsibilities in that too. So there are the four primary areas of relationships that I have in my life, and I have to practice those every single day. Everybody stops at about page 85 or 90, and they just, oh, well, I've done it. No. There's still, 84 more pages to go. There's a lot of work in there. A lot of it's really tough. A lot of it has to do with some of the principles you learn in the first 88 pages, like self-sacrifice, and humility, and honesty, and open-mindedness, and willingness. These things aren't there. These aren't just principles that are out there to just contemplate or to consider. These are principles that need to be applied through sweat and labor and blood in my relationships that I have at home, at work, and with my children, and with the alcoholics in these rooms. So I urge you, don't just stop with your amends process and try to live in 10, 11, and 12. I mean, yeah, try that, but there is a whole set of very specific instructions. If you read the book on page 120, it says, if you are mad at your spouse, we think you ought to say this, comma, quotation marks. And it gives you a sentence to say. It's how specific can you get? It's telling you exactly what to say. I never saw that before. So there's all kinds of joys and gifts inside of the book, not just in the instructions for the steps, but the instructions on how to live and how to apply the steps in your life, which is an important lesson I don't think we hear enough today. I've gotten some very specific directions, and fortunately, heaven forbid, I should actually make it till June 11th of this year. I'll be married for 14 years. Same woman, first woman, hopefully only woman, but that's a projection, and it's going to take some time and a lot of effort, and it also takes two willing partners. And one of the things that I'm starting to learn to understand is not only the 12 steps, but the 12 traditions are in this book, if you look back far enough. And there's a lot of work in there, too. A lot of good work in the traditions. And if you ever pick up a manual for world service, there's the 12 concepts. There's 12 more spiritual principles you can work with. When they say that all you have to do is change the rest of your life, yeah, absolutely. There are 36 areas we can work with here. That's going to take a long, long time. Fortunately, I've been through the work once. I'm going back through it again, and the kind of awareness that I have now as a result of going back through a second time are unbelievable. Mark hasn't said it today, but he said it to me before. You don't ever have to go through the steps more than once without power. You can carry the power that you have in the first time through with you. It gives you a greater understanding and a greater awareness as you go through the steps the second time. That's incredible if you really consider that. I've taken enough time. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Mark.
Well, I want to again say thank you to all of you who are here. If you have not had some of the experiences that were shared today, they are available for you. Do not settle for less than that. Do not settle for less than a powerful spiritual experience with God in your life. I want to close by reading a paragraph, page 50 and 51, which just speaks to me so clearly based on my experience. And it describes what will happen if I'm willing to go through this book and do what this book asked me to do. It says, here are thousands of men and women, worldly indeed. And they flatly declare that since they have come to believe in a power greater than themselves, step two, take an attitude toward that power, step three, do certain simple things, the rest of the steps, there's been a revolutionary change in their way of living and thinking. You don't think they mean a revolutionary change, do you? In the face of collapse and despair, in the face of the total failure of their human resources, they found a new power, peace, happiness, and sense of direction flowed into them. My God, that's all I ever wanted my whole life. This happened soon after they wholeheartedly met a few simple requirements. Oh, requirements. They could mean requirements, do you think? Once confused and baffled by the seeming futility of existence, they show the underlying reasons why they were making heavy going of life, our troubles of our own making. Leaving aside the drink question, drunk or sober, they're talking to us. They tell why living so unsatisfactory. They show how a change came over them, and then they describe the change. When many hundreds of people are able to say the consciousness of the presence of God is today the most important fact of their life, they present a powerful reason why one should have faith. Have faith in this book. Have faith in God. God bless you all. I love you.